we know we can do better on sort of both counts. Like, can you make it more private? Can you give me some more bits? We're growing the team for that reason. Like, we're not going anywhere. Maybe that's going to be sad news for some people, but Privacy Sandbox has a lot more to do than just third-party cookie deprecation and the current set of APIs that are out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Identity Architects, the InfoSum podcast that spotlights the incredible leaders in the media industry shaping the future of data-driven advertising. I'm your host, Ben Cicchetti, and if there's been one topic that has dominated the advertising industry trade news over the last few years, it's been the deprecation of third-party cookies. And more recently, there's been two names synonymous with that deprecation, Google and the Privacy Sandbox. So for this week's episode, I'm incredibly excited that Lauren Wetzel, our COO at InfoSum, had the chance to sit down with Alex Cohn, Senior Product Manager on the Privacy Sandbox. Before we jump into that conversation, this is your reminder to hit that subscribe button so you'll always be the first to know when the latest episodes of Identity Architects drop. But without any further delay, here's Lauren and Alex.
I'm so excited to welcome someone I've long admired, Alex Cohn, to InfoSum's Identity Architects podcast. So, welcome.
Thank you. I feel the same way about you. I'm very excited to have a conversation with you, and I guess everyone gets to hear it.
Yeah, they do. We are recording, in fact. We usually open things up by asking for people to introduce themselves and their company. I have a sneaky suspicion there's not a single person in our Identity Architects audience listening to this who doesn't know who Google is. But for anyone who doesn't know you, Alex, can you give us a quick intro to yourself and your role?
Yeah. So Alex Cohn, product manager on the Privacy Sandbox team at Google. The Privacy Sandbox team sits in what we call the Platforms and Ecosystems org, which has Chrome and Android, Chrome OS, sort of what you would think about for platforms and ecosystems. And my role within the team is really horizontal across all of the technologies that we're building to, you know, be building blocks for the ecosystem as we move away from cross-site identifiers, that third-party cookies being the most well-known. So I'm really been helping the team on how we go to market. And it's one of the most fun things I've ever worked on. I think it might be the most fun thing I've ever worked on.
And we're going to get into that today. But what other roles did you have leading up to this that you wanted to maybe...
Yeah. So background, I'm 11 years into ad tech. I started ad tech career at AppNexus, product manager there, worked on a bunch of different things like video and deals and the publisher ad server and privacy creative. It's actually where I met you, Lauren, when we became Xander. Spent a little bit of time at IAB Tech Lab as sort of privacy and addressability became the focal point topics back in like 2020. And then did a little short stint with somebody who I may have mentioned a couple times during this podcast, Julia Schulman, working, just helping people with ads privacy strategy sort of across product and legal. So yeah, I've been in ad tech for a little bit and mostly product management, but from a few different vantage points.
That's super helpful. And we always traditionally start with quick fire questions. So I'm going to throw some questions at you, and it starts with your earliest memory of advertising.
Yeah, it was hard for me to narrow it. There's like four.
We can hear four.
Four commercials that I remember like really distinctly, but I don't know which one was first. I remember like, and it's all based on the jingles. So these are commercials. So Juicy Fruit, Big Red, and I could sing these to you
please.
If you want. Probably you don't. Folgers, best part of
yeah.
Life. And then Connect Four. And I don't know which one was, but I could, if you are in the Chandelier Bar with me at CES, listener, I will sing all four of those to you word for word.
I love it. What did you want to be when you were younger while watching those Juicy Fruit commercials?
I moved around a little bit, but I had a family member, my mom's dad, who is history professor, and that seemed really cool to me. A little later on in life, I wanted to be a Eurocrat, which actually may explain why I'm doing what I'm doing now. But I wasn't that young at that point.
And what was your first job in either advertising or marketing? I assume maybe AppNexus.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you take an expansive view, I did like digital comms and marketing actually for a few nonprofits before I joined AppNexus. But AppNexus, yeah, was my first like advertising job. And that was February 2013.
And what drew you to it? Like, and maybe said differently, what also just keeps you in it if they're the same thing?
Yeah. So with AppNexus, it was people. It was a guy named Justin Pines, who's really great, who introduced me to Suzanne O'Kelly, Brian's sister. And what I liked about them was neither one of them viewed me in a silo in terms of what I was capable of. And that seemed really cool. And I didn't know much about ad tech at that point, but I was like, this seems great. These people are going to let me try something new. What's kept me in it? I would say finding this intersection of my policy background, which I didn't really talk about, but and then my deep love of product management, or like working with people to build and commercialize product. It's like this intersection of privacy and product, like, is what keeps me in it.
Yeah, which is I think both actually play nicely into each other, not compartmentalizing someone's skill set. And also the fact that almost every new role in advertising, and in particular, I would say, with privacy and with Sandbox in particular, you kind of need to have a good blend of both. And I know, you know, that was a lot of the work that you and Julia were kind of helping to mend across the industry. Legal team, product team, commercial team, like, how do you kind of all work together and sort of lend and build off of each other?
It's my favorite thing to do in the world, is like, give me a bunch of cross-functional teams working on privacy and technology and digital advertising, and like, let's go do something. Love it. Wakes me up every day.
What advice would you give to someone who is just starting a career in either media and advertising, or ad tech in particular?
So the there's like maybe two pieces, and the first one's sort of like, no matter what industry, but it's like, find your people.
Yep.
Like, it will make all the, and when I say your people, just like the people who you admire, look up to, can learn from, enjoy being around, and like want to spend time with after work too. Like, that's going to make all the difference in the world. That's no matter what industry you're in. As far as like media and advertising advice, find people that help you get below the surface. I think a lot of the problems that digital advertising is like looking at right now are from people not really like deeply grokking all of their customers and partners and competitors' incentives, and then also how the tech actually works. And that, to me, like, if you can start learning that early in your career, or like recognize that that's super important, and find the people who can help you learn that stuff, like, you're gonna go really far, because frankly, not everyone does that. So if you do, you're going to have a perspective I think is super valuable.
I agree with that. I wish more people asked me about the detailed nuances of technology, because I feel, to your point, especially as it relates to privacy tech, it's like, so long as it just is said privacy safe, if it says, you know, privacy by some level of design, that must be the answer. And you know, and it could be in both directions, how the tech works, and then also like legally as well. Like, I like those two audiences better. Like, I like, you know, legal teams and compliance teams, and I like very technical folks whenever, at least when we're talking about InfoSum and sort of data clean room tech more broadly. That's just a safer space for us, where, you know, one, I think we can distinguish ourselves, but also it's like, that is the level of detail. If we're trying to re-architect something, which I think all of us are, could be the core theme of this podcast. If we're re-architecting and we're rebuilding and we're acknowledging that this, the way that we had done it before, isn't the way that we should continue to do it, then, like, I'm sorry, it takes a lot more questions, which takes more time, And so everyone listening on this podcast, like Alex and I are going to talk for a really long time. So how would you describe what you do within media and advertising to a 10-year-old? One of my favorite questions.
Yeah, it's a really good one. It actually kind of forces that previous one, right? Like,
yeah,
understanding. So I would say, like, since I can remember using computers, it's been possible to track my behaviors across all the things I'm looking at, like, since I can remember. I didn't know that, but that's been true. It's also been possible for me to access, like, seemingly endless amounts of, like, fun and informative things online.
Yep.
And I think both of those things are still true for a 10-year-old. I'm working on the first thing, right, which is people tracking your behavior across all the things that you're looking at and making that harder to do and less necessary to do while keeping the second thing, which is like seemingly endless access to amounts of fun and informative things. So it's like,
I like that.
Yeah. I hopefully that's clear. 10-year-old Lauren.
No, that is typically how you have to break it down for me, but that, no, that's actually really very, very well said. This is a deep question. What inspires you?
I'm going to like go through sort of like by relationships, actually. So my wife, Krista, has a huge commitment to her health, both physical and mental. Super inspiring, like runs up mountains. Like every day. It's awesome. My kids inspire me a ton, and they are massively accepting of diversity and they reject the patriarchy, and it's awesome. And that's super inspiring as a white dude. Reading history, like people who've like achieved like really big things, but did so while treating people around them well and having good humor. Like, yeah, those are, give me all those things and I'll be pretty inspired.
That's amazing. We'll definitely do a subsector podcast of just like book club by Alex Cohn.
I love books. I don't read as much anymore though, because it's just too much work.
you're sort of solving some big challenges out there. Last of the quick fire to keep us on task. This is actually a little bit of inside baseball on how InfoSum sort of welcomes new team members. So when we were getting started in the US, it was really just two of us, and then it became three of us and became grow over the past couple of years. But we kind of had the opportunity to sort of get to know our colleagues in sort of a, you know, new traditional way. And the one question we asked every newcomer was, if there is a song that was a soundtrack to your life, what would it be?
That's so awesome. Like as a thing to like welcome people in.
It's a very diverse playlist that we have.
Yeah.
That
we have. Yeah. So you're not going to like this because I'm going to say two different things.
Okay.
And that's not that quick fire. So currently I'm a huge Boy Genius fan.
Okay.
Or Stan, I think the kids say. And I regularly can be found like stamping my feet and bobbing my head to a song that actually won a Grammy, Not Strong Enough, but their whole like fleet of songs is great. I think if I dug a little deeper, like going back, I can remember the first time I heard Bob Dylan's With God on Our Side, and it like knocked me down. And every time I've heard it since, like it has. And I think it's kind of tuned to that. I mentioned like reading history. It's like really tuned to that, but it also like reminds me of why I love history so much, which I think I mentioned as well. Like my mom's dad had all these history books in this room that had this particular smell. And yeah, so like I don't listen to it all the time, but like it's as I think about it, it like has shaped a lot of how my brain works. Bob Dylan, he's great.
Love Bob Dylan. I'll segue us. So more kind of topic related questions for this Identity Architects audience. this is just perfect timing to have you on the podcast, because I don't think I can scroll X or LinkedIn or read through newsletters without reading something about Privacy Sandbox. But before I get into sure. that, privacy is a core purpose that I know that you and I share. I think it was our first conversation when we were working together where I probably picked your brain for far too long. Because to me, it was just become, I was taking from a strategy lens and a who do we partner with lens and why do we partner with them lens. And then tell me what AppNexus did when GDPR came around in Europe and you were so thoughtful and spent so much time. And then now here I am at InfoSum to help create an advertising ecosystem that's better for consumers. So thanks to you. But ever since I've known you, privacy has been this central component of your job. And obviously you kind of went through that thread, that commonality leading up to your new role in Sandbox. But why is privacy so important? And what does a privacy first advertising ecosystem look like to you, Alex?
Well, that was all very nice things to say. I'm kind of like super floored by that. Why is privacy so important? I am someone who believes that it is like a fundamental right. Like people need to be able to understand and kind of control the context of what they're sharing. Like I think about, you know, if I walked into your living room and have a conversation with you, my expectation, I mean, you could go tell people what I said, but my expectation would be like, hey, Lauren is going to keep this to herself, and maybe if, you know,
so long as I'm not recording
her dog's in the room, maybe the dog hears and like goes and barks about it. But then if I walk into like a busy space or like step onto a stage, right? Like I understand that what I'm putting out there, if I'm being recorded, right? Like is like, so like, I understand it. Right. Yep. So I think, when I say it's a fundamental right, it's not like there's not different sort of contexts for where you're sharing and like but the understanding and control over it, I think, are really important. But I also think what's really important, it's not the only right, right? Like it's a fundamental right, but there are other fundamental rights. Like if you think about as privacy hits sort of like internet commerce, right? Like needs to be balanced.
Yep.
So like it's like a super fascinating intersection to me. Like how do we go do that? There are a lot of things to balance, but I do think we can get to an internet with better privacy protections. Like I think that's possible, and I think it's also possible, like I said in my like explain it to a 10-year-old, like it looks like being able to experience like vast, diverse, open web without having to expose the complete set of data points of that experience, right? Like I can go traverse the web and not have to like worry that I'm exposing that entire activity, or at least have control over that. Right. So that's what I think it looks like. Right. Like I think it's some balance that is better than where we are today on privacy and data protection. And that acknowledges that like, it is really awesome to have an open internet that is, like the reason that that exists is because it's ad funded, and like we need to support that too.
Yeah, I completely agree. And in certain markets, I think it's, even if it's not privacy first, I also think we have a pretty low bar in certain markets.
Oh man.
to do better.
Yes.
Greatly discussed over the last year or two, but for anyone who's unfamiliar listening to this podcast, can you provide an overview of the initiative, its purpose, its goals?
Remember when people weren't talking about Privacy Sandbox? We don't have that problem anymore. It is very much, been discussed a lot. So, but yeah, what is it? Like the initiative's about like keeping people's activity private across a free and open internet. Like that's the mission. We know like publishers rely on ads to keep content free.
Yep.
And like broadly available as possible. Advertisers want to help people discover new things, give them offers. Like, and what we're doing is shipping features in Chrome and Android that effectively enable websites and apps to show people useful ads based on their activity with different parties without revealing their identity to those parties. That's like, in a nutshell, what we're up to.
And how, this almost feels like a loaded question. What is the reaction been to Privacy Sandbox? What's the feedback?
Yeah, that's super difficult to summarize. And the reason why, I think it, like, feedback depends really heavily, like, on your starting point.
Yep.
So do you think that there's even a problem in privacy? And I'm not saying this to you. This
is rhetorical.
Do you think there's even a problem with privacy and data protection to begin with in digital advertising? That's going to shape how you give feedback. Have you gone deep in trying to understand our tech versus, like, kind of, you know, just listening to somebody else's point of view? So those sort of dimensions make a big difference. Obviously, there's a ton of different kind of segments that we're hearing from, and it's not just ad tech and digital advertising, right? There are people who spend a lot of their time thinking about privacy who are giving us feedback. There are obviously regulators that are giving us feedback. So point being, it's difficult to summarize. But so for those who admit there is a problem and have gone deep in understanding what we're trying to do, I think the feedback kind of either comes down to, can you make it more private, or can you give me some more bits? And the people who ask for more bits actually will acknowledge if that, like, hey, that maybe you can do that in, like, a confidential computing environment.
Yeah.
Right? Like something that's, you know, I just would love more bits. So, like, obviously that's not addressing the folks that don't think that there's a problem or have, like, kind of let their POV be shaped by others. But, like, we know we can do better on sort of both counts. Like, can you make it more private? Can you give me some more bits? We're growing the team for that reason. Like, we're not going anywhere. Maybe that's going to be sad news for some people, but, like, Privacy Sandbox has a lot more to do than just third-party cookie deprecation and the current set of APIs that are out there. We also acknowledge, like, on the people who haven't gone deep, that it is very difficult to understand what we're doing. Like, I think, you know, Tech Lab gave us that feedback as part of their 106-page document that, like, hey, this is actually very difficult to come to a deep understanding. We hear that. I've been on a call earlier this morning, like, working on how do we get, like, docs and discoverability of docs to a better place, like, helping map the ecosystem use cases. The best thing I've heard, I actually, like, Ronnie Gordon at Index Exchange said to me at one point, like, help me map my business to the APIs. Don't make me have to figure out how. Yeah. So, like, we acknowledge all that, and, like, we realize the feedback actually could even be better if we made it, you know, as we make it easier to understand. So, yeah, like, that was a really long answer to how has the feedback been so far, but, like, there's been tons, right? And pre-existing me, this is, like, a 4-year-old project at this point. Oh, man. Like, We have feedback coming out our ears.
Yeah, I think there's, like, you hit on it really nicely. I sort of see three interesting paradoxes, which is, like, first and foremost, there's just the criticism. It's almost like Google can't win because it's, like, damned if you don't deprecate those cookies and you push that deadline, and then damned if you do it and you put something out there. The second paradox is just, if we all acknowledge we have to rebuild the industry, then it's just not going to be apples and apples. So, like, parts are going to, unfortunately, to your point on that balancing act, like, parts are going to suffer, and then we're going to have to kind of work through that together. But it's just not going to be as clean and easy unless you just want to have a cookie replacement that looks like a cookie. which sometimes when I read the criticism, it feels that way. And I think the third that's really challenging, and this is just unfortunate for those who are in the Sandbox team working hard, who I know each of you individually who care so much about privacy, it's like, you're still a part of Google. And so no matter what, there's this almost like disorientation of the fact that, like, I, as a consumer, I trust Google Maps and I trust Gmail and I have all of these sort of direct relationships, which then puts Google into a different position altogether as it relates to identity and as it relates to its relationship with the consumer. And so I think that part of it also gets really interesting, where I see some, like, you know, the criticism that doesn't have the details in it. It's like that it's just sort of like, well, Google's in the best position to move forward. And it's like, yeah, well, like, that's very different than what this team is focused on and trying to solve. So that's sort of my oversimplification when I look at it, of like, I can see the different sides, but I also see how it's a really challenging, you know, time and position to be in. Obviously, you know, I'm a part of disruptive technology that's trying to challenge the status quo and change things as well. So selfishly, when I see the companies finally, like, pulling up their timelines, believing that Google's going to stick to a date, realizing they have to move forward, realizing they either, you know, have to put first party data to work and protect that data, partner with others who have first party data, like, that's sort of where our technology comes in to establish a collaboration and to protect it. And have I seen the increase in people actually really taking Google seriously and then therefore, like, calling 1-800-InfoSum and saying, wow, this is for real? So that, like, I was on pause, but now I'm really going to kick this into gear and start to work with your technology. You know, it obviously makes me really supportive of the initiative because of my philosophy on it, but then it also is advantageous for my business as well.
For sure. Like, I think the pickup over the last 6 to 12 months, like, has been amazing to see. I mean, I'm, you know, I wish people would have gotten started earlier, but I understand why they were hesitant. But it's been really encouraging to see a lot of companies starting to say, okay, this is going to happen. Let's engage with this thing. Let's start building. Let's give feedback from a place of having built something, which is actually super helpful feedback, right? When it's like, hey, I tried to use this in XYZ, right? Like, so yeah, it's also good. Yeah, you're not the only one who's told me, right, that, hey, we're building a business predicated on more privacy for users that, you know, frankly, is related to removing third-party cookies. And we want to get in gear with our customers and on that mission. Like, let's do this. So it's like, it's encouraging to see the activity, but also see companies like InfoSum, like, embracing this change. I think that gives me a lot of wind in my sails to see people embracing the change.
Yeah. There has been more of sort of the feedback that I've read when people talk about cookieless feature. It seems like measurement and with it, transparency is probably, like, one of the more, I don't know, maybe confused, maybe hot topics that are kind of coming out of that feedback for measurement. Like, how is that being? And for more context, like, when, you know, the past couple of years, you enter a year and marketers are under siege for proving return on investment, and you don't know if you're walking into a recession or not, like, measurement comes in handy to prove things out. So for all of the, you know, non-ad techie audiences, so, like, shout out to my family, that's why measurement matters. And for Privacy Sandbox, like, how are you thinking about it? How are you tackling it?
Yeah. So there's a lot in that question, which is a really, really good question. So maybe starting with really concrete things, like, there are two core measurement related building blocks to what we're doing in Privacy Sandbox. There's something we call Attribution Reporting API, which is probably the most clearly named.
Yeah, I got that one.
Yep. And then there's Private Aggregation API, which is, it's more of a general purpose, like, building block for kind of powering how tech companies might provide reach, frequency, and other types of measurement on top of Sandbox. So two core APIs, like, kind of focused on measurement. I think, you know, that's what we've built, but we realize measurement is bigger than Chrome and Android, yep. right? Like, so we've been, and you can see this even tonight, like I'm going to be on a call. This will come out later. So you're going to miss this call, whoever. Yeah, you're going to miss this. But the private advertising technology community group is actually really making some strides towards coming up with a standard that could work across browsers, which I realize still isn't the full picture, right? Because there's more than browsers, but like the standards process is massively important to us still. And there is momentum on measurement, which is fabulous. So we're participating there. We've been public about how we're going to do something now as Chrome, and we've got those two APIs that I just mentioned. But like, if people converge on standards that look a little bit different, like we are open to that and we are participating in that. So we're thinking about all these like other channels as well. I think you mentioned transparency. As part of that question, like, I realize this is like difficult for most people because they're not going to have maybe the ability to go do it themselves, but Chrome, it's like the APIs that we're building, all of them, the measurement, everything else, like is built in Chromium, which is open source. So if you think about like, well, what does open source mean? You know, people build a lot of things on open source. That's part of open source, but also open source means like, I can see,
yep.
like for instance, like private aggregation, like actually both of the measurement APIs apply noise. How does that math work? Well, it's sitting there. Like you can go read it. And if you don't have that capability, which by the way, I don't, but like somebody can, and researchers and any like can go write about it and think about it and reason about it. So like on the transparency side, that's what I would say. It's just like, you know, it's Chrome, it's Android, both are open source projects. Yeah, that's how we're, I guess, approaching transparency and measurement.
That's super helpful. And it's helpful because I think to your point earlier, when things are labeled attribution, it's like people just immediately assume that's it. And then if it doesn't hit on other capabilities that they would have assumed, it's like, okay, that's oriented to a different API. Before I move us out of the sandbox, I have an impromptu question, which is like sure. more of a human question because you're my friend, which is like when I see the headlines and the feedback and the criticisms, and I kind of walked you through a little bit of my thesis or how I, you know, orient why people are sort of questioning or, you know, being fairly constructive. But I also then think of you, and I know how seriously you take your job, like the high standards of product, the care of privacy. Like, how are you doing and feeling knowing that this is such a hot topic every day? And it will be. It, like, you know, it's not as though the criticism that we just referenced is going to be the last of the criticism. It's going to continue until cookie deprecation is fully behind us and then even moving on. So I'm just curious, like, how you kind of take it in stride, but then keep at it.
That's very kind to ask. So it really helps that I love what I'm doing. And I realize that is a... like something not to take for granted, because I think a lot of people wake up in the morning and don't love what they're doing. So I try to remind myself, like, man, this is what a crazy thing that like the universe aligned where something I was interested in and had experience in became such a huge topic. So it's like trying to remember how much I love it.
Yeah.
When it gets kind of hard. I said this to Ari Papar as well. Like, I told myself this year, I've been like putting off like doing the thing that I actually love even more than this job, which is snow skiing. I'd been putting that off the last few years, and I was like, I'm going to do it this year. so like done a couple, well, I've done a trip and then taken my girls skiing a couple times, and we're going to do another trip and at the end of spring, and looking forward to that. And then I think the third thing, and this gets back to like the advice thing, and everyone says it, but like, the people who are working on this are pretty astounding. Like, I've only been doing it since April of last year. There's people who have been trying to make this work well for a lot of years. And I can think like they're all in my head right now. And like, if they can do it, like I want to try to do it too. And when I say it, I mean like persevere,
yeah,
like listen, be deeply thoughtful about like what we're hearing, try to remember the North Star and like remember to laugh too. Like I think last night was having a chat where, you know, classic, everyone does this, right? Like we don't use Slack, but we have chat, right? So like just like some gifs going back and forth on like people being a little slap happy and like that's all how I like,
yeah, you gotta lighten it.
Yeah, like remember, hey, when all this feels like it's flooding on you, that like all these people are humans and good people, and
yeah, this is a role that requires a lot of empathy, because when someone's typically throwing, you know, calling your baby ugly or throwing stones, whatever, I've heard both of them actually related to Sandbox criticism, by the way, it's almost like you just have to say, well, why? Like, why are they feeling this way? Like, you know, what role do they play? What's happening to their business? What challenge do they face? You know, how do we sort of get through, to your point, listening and digesting, but then also trying to find a way to address the feedback and also educate, which is a huge thing the whole industry needs to do right now, which is just like, knowledge is power, like educate, communicate really effectively. I think, you know, whenever it feels like the mountain's insurmountable and it just feels like there's a lot of pressure, I love the phrase pressure is a privilege. It's like it puts things in perspective. You could be working on something that no one is writing about or caring about. And it's, you know, there's a lot of, I think, companies and businesses and individuals who are, you know, rooting for you and rely on you and the team to solve this.
Man, that is a really good, I don't know that I've ever heard the pressure is a privilege thing, but like, I'm going to be sure to remember that.
Yeah. If you're ever nervous going on stage, just say pressure is a privilege.
Nice. I like it.
That's what I say. So 2023, Google launched its PAIR solution, publisher, advertiser, identity, reconciliation, of course, an acronym, which provided interoperability across data cleanroom solutions. InfoSum was an early selected cleanroom partner for PAIR. For anyone unfamiliar on this podcast, can you give us a quick overview of PAIR and why interoperability is really important for our ecosystem?
Yeah. So one quick asterisk on this. I'm not going to take credit for PAIR, nor is Privacy Sandbox. It's been a sort of creation of DV360 that they've worked on with you guys and others, right? So I just want to clear to the audience that like solution coming out of Google that's not coming out of Privacy Sandbox, but cool to see. So by the way, you're the more knowledgeable one on this, so I may kick it back to you, but like as I think about PAIR, it's like it's a secure, privacy protective way for advertisers and publishers to use, like, basically reconcile identity using encrypted first-party data. It's different from, like, identity graphs in that it's not pooling data.
Yep.
So advertisers have full control over their data. Publishers have full control over their data. The folks in the middle are not the ones in control of the data. They're helping make that connection. And I think that's obviously where the, you know, data collaboration clean room space fits in here. Yeah, I think in terms of getting into the nitty gritty details, like I think, you know, it's a protocol, like it itself is not a clean room solution, nor is it an audience list. Like it's just this series of encryption steps that can be applied to reconcile publisher and advertiser first party data, and it's reasoned about, and or you can reason about it in such a way as like, hey, there's this protocol here, and then companies like yours that are already helping publishers and advertisers connect, like actually can help facilitate like just make it easy, right? Like, yep. I think that that's what so many products like exist to do, is like make a difficult technical problem easy and like get this out of my way. Like, I would actually put it back to you. Like, I think you can speak best to like how InfoSum has integrated. Like, I'm actually kind of curious, like how it ends up looking, you know, to publishers and advertiser media companies that you're working with.
Yeah, I think it helps really solve for, to your point earlier, like for DV360 and for the fact that as people are adopting clean room solutions, they may adopt one and their partner may adopt the other. And so I think this notion of the protocol, first and foremost, the notion of the standards of saying exactly what you just said, which I love, like, I love that it's coming in. It's like, there are no pooling of data. There's no matching table that someone's like more afforded and therefore understands like how emails all across the web are being sort of mapped. That's very important. I think that's why when we first heard of, you know, Pair and sort of looked at the design and helped to influence it, like we felt really strongly because it very much operates similar to how InfoSum has always worked, to your point. But it works really nicely for this environment. It's a little bit similar in the sense of like, while everyone's, you know, learning the new language that is clean rooms or learning the new language that is data collaboration, and not every clean room is the same and their privacy protections are different. I think, you know, there's always just a huge learning curve that sort of, you know, prevents, I would say, widespread adoption out the gate, but we are definitely seeing a lot of interest. And we have seen a lot of interest, and it's been great kind of being a part of that and working with the team. And I think that general notion, and the IAB also, to give them credit, the IAB has worked through a lot of different standards and protocols that similar achieve that notion of data clean room interoperability. And so I think it's going to be continuing to lean on IAB, continuing to see Pair kind of spread its wings and fly. For over this next year, but I definitely think it helps. It helps push it along, and I think for me, knowing that Google has assets that they otherwise could have just said, "Oh, well, this will be our assets that'll do this." Instead, them looking to the industry and saying, "Okay, well, who are some of the leading, you know, data collaboration platforms who can take on this protocol, who can do this work on behalf of the clients, and that there's a role for them to play?" I think is also a really good step in the right direction.
I agree. I think it's rad.
This broad topic of collaboration, now I'm not talking about data collaboration, I'm talking about just like our market collaboration. I feel like it's a common theme that's coming out of conversations, especially on this podcast, is this notion of like collective responsibility. You're feeling it because you have trade bodies and regulators and customers who are saying, you know, hey, we got to work on this together and this is my feedback. But how do you see kind of this rise of collaboration manifesting within the industry, and how in particular are you approaching it?
Yeah, maybe I'll start sort of personally on this. Going back to like 2018, I didn't see this for myself. I shouted her out once already, but I'm going to do it again. I'll give Julia Shulman a shout for this. Like, as I started getting introduced to privacy in this intersection with digital advertising, she made very clear to me that this is not an issue space. Like, privacy and data protection is not an issue space that's like a single company go it alone. And the way then forward is, well, where do companies sort of like start coming together? It's like around standards. So in digital advertising, this is actually how I got into being interested in going to work for IAB Tech Lab was, hey, let's get around a standards table as industry and like hash this stuff out, because no one of us can solve for this by ourselves. And then I started getting introduced to like the web standards community, who's like thinking about this issue. And it's the same thing, right? It's like privacy is, and data protection, like they're bigger than any one company. So it's just like by necessity, you have to collaborate. I think it's encouraging to see people acknowledging, and InfoSum is a great example of this, right? Like, people and companies acknowledging like that the status quo, like that got us here. Like, you know, it's important to recognize the things that got you to where you are, but like, it's not going to be the thing that gets us to a successful next 10, 20 years.
Yeah, it's not sustainable.
Yeah, and like, but again, for that to shift, you have to collaborate. Like, I think in terms of like how Google is approaching this, right? Like, it's kind of proof in the pudding. Like, the hours invested, the thousands of hours invested in, let's go have this conversation out in the open and have like logs of the minutes of what we're doing, have GitHub issues, which I realize are technical, but at least like where people are feeding back and they're meant for, hey, let's discuss and collaborate and think about how we do this. Like, we know this is going to take the ecosystem. Actually, my product role is like in the ecosystem part of what we're doing. So yeah, I think in a nutshell, like, yeah, there is no way to go improve privacy and data protection in the digital space without like deep collaboration between people and companies.
Yeah, I think that's right. Otherwise, everyone's just talking past each other and you're trying to rebuild something. You're like, the way you're talking about that is very different than how I see the world. So it does just take a lot of time, effort, attention, patience at times. And then, you know, and I think it also just takes pioneers who are saying, like, not only do I also believe in a way forward, but I'm going to test. And so I'm incredibly grateful. I think proof is in when people are trying new things and seeing value out of that. And so for us, it's like, it's not even me talking about like, you know, InfoSum or privacy. It's like my clients who test and then show others that this is working and that this can work and that this is performant, like that makes all the difference. It makes it so much easier. It gives a guidebook and a rubric for others to follow, which I think is really important. My final question, sort of on all of these broader topics, outside of just like getting you to promise me that Google's going to kill the cookie in 2024. What are some of the things that excite you about the industry and where we're headed this year?
Kind of specific to my world of like privacy and data protection, like I think the potential for advertiser and publisher control going forward is exciting. Like, I think obviously advertisers and publishers have been in control of a lot of things up till today, but I think the increase of that is super exciting to me. I think new tactics that have to do kind of with that to some degree, at least one of them that I can think of, like think about like publisher, media company audiences and sort of the like leverage that they have, but like also the opportunity that that can create for like advertisers and agencies to like explore buying on audiences that are coming from, you know, media companies, from publishers. Obviously, like you can't have a podcast without saying like retail media and CTV, but.
Or AI.
Oh yeah, crap. AI, generative AI. But it is still cool. Like, and as it relates to sort of what we're doing, like when I say we here, I'm talking about me and you, right? Like anyone who is like an identity architect or like thinking about privacy and addressability going forward, like sort of this shift into retail media where it's not only just like interesting new inventory, but also new interesting audiences and interesting like measurement opportunities. Yeah. Those are things that like, those are exciting things.
I love that. Well, I really appreciate all the insight and the answers. And I know our audience and probably the many new audience members we'll have as a result of you being on this podcast are going to appreciate the insight and advice and transparency into what you're working on and why you're working on it. Because I think the why is really, really important. This podcast, as you already cited, Identity Architects, is about the individuals who have pioneered new ways really to deliver better customer experiences, to think about data differently, to protect that data. When you look to people you admire in the industry, who would you nominate for us to interview for an upcoming episode?
I've already given it away. and I don't think you've talked to her, right?
I haven't. And as soon as you were saying Julia, I thought to myself, like, we have to have her on the podcast. I was hoping you would say this. Now it's official.
Yeah, so Julia Shulman, who's now like GC, Chief Privacy Officer, actually at Telly, which is a really cool,
very cool company
startup. And the reason I would say, like, she's been a mentor and friend and collaborator for a while now, and I would not be doing this job if it weren't for her on many, many different levels. So, like, yeah, you should definitely talk to Julia, and then I'd be interested to hear who she picks.
Yeah, I think this would be great, and I am really excited to learn more about Telly and how they're thinking about it, because they're really going to be poised to, you know, to have a really great growing asset, and hopefully collectively we can give them the tools to control it.
Sure.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Alex. This was amazing. I really appreciate not only your time, but just everything that you're doing. And, you know, you've never not put care and thoughtfulness into the work that you're doing. So even when the criticism comes, just know there's a lot of people who see that. So thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. This has been fun.
Thanks again to Alex for joining us. That was an amazing episode that touched on so many incredibly important topics to the long-term sustainability of data-driven advertising. I really appreciate Alex joining us and providing such an honest and open insight into the progress being made over at the Privacy Sandbox. All that leaves for me to do is to remind you to hit that subscribe button so you'll know where the next episode of Identity Architects lands. But until then, thanks for listening.